It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. The economy is doing well, and business in Green Bay seems to be on a roll. Some of it is the fruition of carefully laid plans by city leaders. Some of it is a commitment to the area by developers and business people. Green Bay Press Gazette reporter Jeff Boliers wrote about how successful 2018 has been so far in Green Bay, and he joins us in studio. Jeff, welcome.
Carrie, thanks for having me.
We're also taking your calls on this, 800-642-1234. You can also email us at ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. So, Jeff, you did a rundown in July of all of Green Bay's business successes in 2018. Let's start with the most obvious one. Foxconn is coming to the city.
Yeah.
This is not just about the Southeast Corridor anymore. Talk to me about what they're doing here.
Well, the Foxconn has announced that they're going to build bought a building downtown Green Bay. They're planning to renovate it, convert it into an innovation and technology center to kind of work on engineering and developing applications for their products and their technology. So this was one of two centers like this that they announced in the state. The other one is in Eau Claire. Mm-hmm. And it kind of really caught everybody by surprise here. It was played very close to the vest. And when the announcement was made, it was pretty big news. The governor was here. Terry Gao, the chairman of Foxconn, was in town also kind of to make the announcement. And it just kind of was the... It was a capper for the first 6 months of Green Bay's just a great year here.
So I want to stay with Foxconn for a moment.
Yes.
So they're making the stuff that's going to be the software that's going to be used in the plant near Racine?
As we understand it, they will be sort of developing applications in a variety of different industries. Healthcare is one that comes to mind immediately, but other uses, applications for, I believe, 5K and other technology that they are developing application that they are working on.
And how many jobs are they going to hire locally?
So locally, as we understand it, they're projecting about 200 jobs. These will be high-trained, highly skilled jobs. It's not going to be a manufacturing or production center so much as more of developing the ideas and the technology.
So they're going to be bringing people in to do those jobs?
Yes. Well, they will be recruiting locally, and that's kind of the question right now is what specific skill sets they need and where they will be recruiting from.
We are talking about we're broadcasting from Green Bay this morning, and we are talking about Green Bay's economic development. We're going to bring in Kevin Vonk. He's the development director for the city of Green Bay. We're also talking to Garrett Bader. He's in studio with us, and he's a developer in Green Bay. Both of you, welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
So, Kevin, the Innovation Center, this was not part of the downtown redevelopment plan. This just came out of the blue for you, didn't it?
Yeah. I think once the state announced that Foxconn was coming here, probably the day after, I think the mayor and I got in the car and went down to Madison. And, we wanted to, make sure that, the governor knew, Department of Administration, Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, if they really fulfilled, their pledges of what they were going to do. We know that their presence was going to be beyond, Racine County, the metro Milwaukee area. And we wanted to make sure that Green Bay was on their radar. Just knowing a lot of the things that we've done in terms of, our workforce, but also, in terms of a site, what we've been doing in the city and, specifically downtown for a location. And, these were the types of jobs that we were looking after. And we just wanted to make sure that we were, well-known, to the administration would love to have a piece of this in the city of Green Bay.
And that is how they put you guys together?
I think so. I think we're pretty persistent when it comes to, selling the city. And, again, too, if we want to make sure, being the third largest city in the state, we act like it. And we go out and make sure that we continue to, recruit additional businesses to our community. And I think we've had a lot of successes recently. And to really, show those and help build upon those, we made sure that wasn't the only time that we made a reminder. And, I think when they were, looking at a spot in the region, region. You know, they looked at a few different locations and, you know, saw downtown Green Bay. And I don't know if they came when we're having, you know, Dine on the Deck or Fridays on the Fox or some kind of event where just, you know, it was packed downtown. And they said, this is the spot we want to be.
Ah, so that's interesting. So if you build it, they will come is kind of the thing. Like you built the downtown, people come and see the downtown and go, oh, this is a really cool place. I want to be there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's been a work in progress and making sure that, you know, we're not only building the infrastructure and the buildings, but, you know, also working with partners to do the events. I think it's really important that, you know, we get people down there and especially, you know, if you haven't been to downtown Green Bay in 15 years, you're probably not going to recognize it.
Garrett, there's going to be an innovation center coming in. How do you as a developer say, I want to take advantage of those 200 jobs that are coming?
More bodies never hurt. And it's true. You have density. It becomes, in some cases, a chicken or egg situation. So do you have an announcement like that and activity like that that drives other development, or is it the other way around? And sometimes it's a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm.
But you see something like that and say, okay, what's this company going to need? What will their workforce want in an area? So Kevin had a great point. You can have events and have festivals and those sorts of things that bring liveliness, but it's even day-to-day. Hey, I want to go out to lunch. I want to go get a drink after work. I want a coffee before work. Those types of developments can make other things happen, and then you look at, okay, where's available land? What don't we have here that we want?
Mm-hmm.
And we try to bring it.
We are talking about economic development in Green Bay with the city's development director, Kevin Vonk, developer Garrett Bader, who you just heard, and Jeff Bollier of the Press Gazette. Jeff, you and I talked
yes.
a couple months ago about Green Bay Packaging.
Yes.
Give us a reminder about what that is.
So Green Bay Packaging announced earlier this summer that they had intended to commit to building a $580 million new mill here in Green Bay. It would replace their existing operation, which is, I believe, more than 50 years old, maybe more than 70 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so they were kind of looking at what to do. They were at a crossroads. Do we buy paper? Do we, do we move to a more competitive state further into the Midwest? They had mentioned Missouri, Indiana as two options that they had maybe looked at. It's on highway routes and a little bit more accessible. But they came to Kevin and the mayor and the city, as well as the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation and Brown County, and said, help us, you know, help us get over this hurdle. We want to stay here. The family ownership that the Kress family that has owned it for its entire history, decided we want to stay in Green Bay. Help us do that. And so the city, the state, and the county were able to come up with about $80, $85 million in incentives, tax credits for job creation, a pay-as-you-go TIF award to kind of help incentivize the development. And Green Bay Packaging said, okay, we'll do it.
So, Kevin, did they come to you or did you come to them when you heard that they were looking and say, please stay here?
We always try and make sure as a city, you know, we're staying in front of things and making sure we have good relationships and we're not caught by surprise. We were called in, with some other officials from, local state government and a big meeting. And, I think kind of going into it, we had heard a little bit, about some potential plans. And, I think sometimes prepare for the worst, anticipate the best. And we went in and, I think as Jeff laid out, they said, look, we need to replace this mill. We have some options, whether it be here or other places. And so let's make it happen here. And so, I think that was the start of, some weeks, months of pretty good negotiations about, how do we, make this happen in terms of a financial incentive and logistics and, working as a partnership to make it work.
And how many jobs are they keeping and how many jobs are they adding?
So all in, they will probably add not only at this plant, but through some of their other properties. They have a pretty good presence here in the region and throughout the state. They'll be retaining about 800, 900 and adding a potentially another 200 to 300.
We are talking about Green Bay's economic development this morning. We're going to be taking your calls, 800-642-1234. Do you live in Green Bay? Have you seen the economic development and you like what you see? Are you thinking maybe of moving downtown, or has your work situation improved because you have someplace to eat and places to go downtown? We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We're going to be back in a moment. It's The Morning Show. Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We're broadcasting from Green Bay this week, highlighting some issues here, and today we're talking about the economy, which is booming. It's booming because there have been some very careful plans that are now coming to fruition, and it's booming because people who run businesses here are loyal to the city. What do you think about what's happening in Green Bay? We want to hear from Green Bayers or people in the area. Would you move downtown to be able to live, dine, and work in the same place? Do you think that kind of development helps a city's image? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. We're sitting here this morning with Press Gazette business reporter Jeff Boliers, developer Garrett Bader, and Green Bay Development Director Kevin Vonk. Kevin, the thing that seems to come through with Green Bay Packaging and others is this desire to stay in Green Bay, this loyalty to the city. When you talk to people, people don't necessarily want to leave.
Yeah, I think, you know, a few of the things that get mentioned, you know, in terms of businesses, the workforce, you know, always the workforce ethic, in terms of, you know, employers who are seeking good employees really find a strong workforce here and enjoy that. And so they note that as a reason to stay. But then, you know, you're talking to people and they really realize that, you know, there's a lot of amenities here and they can have, you know, a taste of the urban life of a big city in terms of, again, you know, places to eat, drink, shop, you know, habitate. But then there's also, you know, the benefits of living in a smaller community where, you know, you can still, you know, if you want to get involved, make a difference pretty easily in terms of, you know, social networks or other activities in the community. There's a lot to do. And then also just, you know, the access to additional resources. You know, if you do want to go to Madison, Milwaukee, Chicago, or, you know, a lot of people enjoy the North Woods and Door County, mm-hmm. You know, it's a good location. And, you know, I think people also see, you know, in the community, and I think what I've seen and my colleagues here have seen is there's still a lot of potential in the community, untapped potential. And there's, you know, a lot of great things that have been done, but there's a lot of really good things that need to get done yet. And so I think the ability to actually work on those and actually see, you know, the fruits of your labor to be able to make a difference, you know, keeps people attached to this community.
Jeff Boliers, you've written about other companies mm-hmm. that have decided to stay here, that have handed off their companies to other people to make sure they stay local.
Yeah, we had a couple of companies here in town over the last 6 months who have made sort of major succession announcements, one of them being KI. It's a commercial furniture manufacturer, and it was 71% owned by Dick Resch, the CEO, and his family, and he had started to explore options for kind of divesting that, and it was either sell to a competitor, sell to, you know, like a private equity firm, or sell to the employees who owned the other roughly 30% of the company. Mm. And so he made the decision to make the arrangements to do that. Insight Tel Services, which is based out in Howard, just outside of Green Bay, made a major succession announcement that they were going to be kind of staying here as well and committing to kind of remaining an independent company that explores providing regional operations as well as regional broadband internet, wireless, and telephone services. So,
and I have Belin decided to stay here also.
Belin Health, they made a their CEO George Kerwin was retiring after 40 years in the with the organization and passed it on to a woman named Chris Wileski. She will remain as CEO. You know, the board really kind of took the opportunity to confirm its commitment to staying an independent healthcare organization that is headquartered here in Green Bay, right on Webster Avenue. It's as opposed to, you know, in the last 6 months to a year, we've seen a lot of healthcare providers merging, consolidating, you know, trying to expand their territory in sort of leaps and bounds, where Belin, you know, has continued to sort of make that commitment to slow growth, building a presence in communities and really serving their sort of core 800,000 population area around Northeast Wisconsin and the Upper Peninsula.
And we can't forget Breakthrough Fuel.
Yes, Breakthrough Fuel was a third one. They are a downtown-based company. It's a kind of a startup. They work in fuel efficiency and sort of logistics efficiency. And their founder, who Craig Dickman, who really kind of is one of the main drivers of, I would say, innovation and kind of building a spirit of entrepreneurship in Green Bay, especially in downtown, announced that he was going to start a company called Stage 3 and pass the reins of Breakthrough Fuel to Doug Mueller, his second in command.
So this is entrepreneurship. This is I've started a company. Here you go. I'm going to go start another company.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would say Craig is kind of the, you know, a little bit of that Silicon Valley embodiment of sort of, you know, he starts something, gets it going, builds it up, scales it up a little bit, and then sort of looks for the next challenge or the next opportunity.
Garrett, this is the kind of thing we want to see here in Green Bay, yes?
Absolutely. I just one comment that I think ties a lot of what we just talked about together is the brand of Green Bay. Let's not forget that Green Bay is globally known.
Even
take the Wisconsin part out of it. This is Green Bay, USA. If you're any one of these companies and you export, you have a facility somewhere else, and people say Green Bay on the mailing address, that's huge. Mm-hmm. There's a business value that comes to that. So it's one thing to say that people are here because we have an entrepreneurial history here with a lot of the companies we've started, that we have, you know, low crime and good business climate and, you know, good workforce, all of that. That's all great. This is a business decision. It's a great brand. People know you. People know what you're about.
We are talking about the Green Bay economy. Part of the reason that it has a great brand, I've got to say this because we're talking to Green Bay Packers CEO in about a half an hour. So part of the reason it has a great brand is because of the Packers. Everybody knows the Packers. But Kevin, I want to talk right now about the mall. The Port Plaza Mall, which got razed. But talk to me about the transformation of that area and the decision to take that mall down.
Sure. You know, like most Midwestern cities in the 60s, you know, retail was changing, demographics were changing, shopping retail habits were changing, and, you know, it was moving to the suburbs. And Green Bay, like many other cities, felt like the best way to compete against that was to go right back and build malls right downtown. And so, you know, they took down, bulldozed blocks of historic buildings, which, you know, it's sad to look at pictures today, but look, decisions are made, and put in this, you know, retail center, and it was successful for a period. And then, like its counterparts, you know, through the 80s started falling off. And I don't know. I didn't grow up here, so I don't know if the arcade was the last thing hanging around. And Garrett could probably answer.
We had friends of ours. We had a discussion about Port Plaza Mall this past weekend. If Kasha's listening, she knows what I'm talking about. But the mall, let's not forget, the mall was great for the better part of 30 years. Mm-hmm. And we can say where maybe the woulda, coulda, shoulda, they shouldn't have built it the way it did and hopefully not bulldoze as much of downtown. We made the best decisions at the time we did. Now we made another good one to remove it. Let's not be afraid to make big decisions and big developments again because we're afraid of what happened the past time. We can't let that be the case.
Yeah. I would agree, and I think, you know, when this mall, you know, came to its close, 2006, 2007, decisions made to take it down, and I think it was 2012, and really, you know, kind of replace it, putting back together the urban fabric, and at that time, another company, you know, retaining in Green Bay was Schreiber Foods, mm-hmm. and looking to, you know, consolidate their corporate headquarters and you know, solidify their presence. They're a global company, and the city, you know, worked with them to make sure that they would remain in Green Bay for, you know, another generations to come. And so I think, you know, what that did, and you know, to Garrett's point, the bold decision to take that down, really opened up that opportunity. And again, for a global company like, you know, Schreiber to come in and say, you know, downtown is where we want to be. Not just Green Bay, but downtown Green Bay is where we want to be. I think really, you know, kind of solidified a lot of work that had been going on so far, you know, through the last few years to say, yep, downtown has been working. It's on an upward trajectory, and we want to be a part of that.
I want to follow up on what you said, Garrett, about let's not be afraid to make big decisions. I'm sure that when you come up with development plans and when you, Kevin, come up with plans, you get people in the neighborhood who say, No, we like
Never.
It the way it is.
Never.
Unheard of.
Smooth sailing.
So how do you sell that?
Sometimes carefully. And Kevin can be very politically correct right now, but there have been certain elected officials at times that do not have, I think, a grand enough vision for what we can do. And they become scared or for different reasons don't want to support something. You mentioned, of course, that why is Green Bay globally known? The Packers. We need to leverage that. Of course we are.
Right.
Now let's leverage it and do great things. And I think some at times haven't seen that. It's a little bit of a hand-holding. So at times there are some justifiable concerns. At times when you see things, you go in for rezoning petitions or you go in for, hey, I want to redo this 3 or 4 square block area. That can give people some hesitation. Mm-hmm. You hope through dialogue and through sometimes the beauty of computer animation these days, and here's a rendering of what it'll look like, that you win over a lot of folks, not only with here's the physical part, but then here's the business and the economic sense of why we do this.
Okay, you can be politically correct if you want, Kevin,
sure.
But you're in a very unique position. I mean, you're in a position of trying to transform the city and sell the city to outsiders and also convince people inside that this transformation needs to happen. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, you know, in terms of, selling the outside, to people who may be interested in coming here, relocating here, moving here, as you mentioned, you know, I think we do have a global brand and we get exposure on, you know, Sundays. We get the little snippets when we've got home games. And, I think sometimes that works to our advantage. Other times it's tough, you know, when I think some of the networks really love to play up, you know, we're the small town team and, you know, showing these rural
Look
shots.
Look at those cows
of,
again.
Right.
Wow.
I don't know anybody who lives on a farm. But I think, you know, the Packers being able to get people into the door, they come here, you know, for, you know, Lambeau Field or for a game. But then, you know, like most cities, you know, you go downtown, you see what's there. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, once you do that, you realize, like, wow, this is not what's being portrayed in terms of, you know, the people and the infrastructure and the diversity that's here, that's really unknown. And I think, you know, it's our job and my job to really kind of, you know, keep pushing that and making sure that we're seeing all sides of Green Bay. Again, selling that we're a smaller community, but we're also, you know, a very entrepreneurial community and a diverse community and things that have, a lot of great elements that make this a great place to live and work. And I think for, you know, those here internally, who have lived here and seen a lot of change. It is, you know, sometimes a little bit of a hand holding, but I think you also see, you know, what other communities are doing. And, you know, I'll be honest with, you know, when I'm talking to, you know, council members who are making decisions, it's competitive out there. Mm-hmm. And just don't think that, you know, we're the only city, you know, trying to, you know, retain and attract people. You look across, I mean, even our own state that, you know, a lot of cities that are struggling with
Garrett
things.
Is and, applauding right,
right
now.
So, you know, just it's
competitive.
And I think it's, these days we have to retain that competitive nature, and sometimes that requires, you know, thinking differently or making some bold decisions.
We are taking your calls about Green Bay's economic development. Caitlin from La Crosse, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
So what is your comment?
So I grew up in Green Bay, and then I left to go to college, and I'm still away. But coming home, I just realized how much more there is to do in Green Bay. Growing up, I mean, granted, I was younger, but I just didn't think there was, like, very much to do, not much entertainment. And now coming back and going down to the city deck, and there's always events down there, and I just think it's a really cool place to hang out, and I think that really attracts people.
Okay, so is it will this make it more likely that you will return after college?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, I think that's what every guest here wants to hear. Thank you for calling
Caitlin,
in.
Caitlin, we're brimming with smiles
yes,
over here.
Exactly.
I want to talk about the shipyard, Kevin. We have a few minutes left here. We have a pun jar in our office. I'm going to make a bad pun. You had the bullfrogs in your grasp, and they leapt out. Talk to me about that.
I was waiting
you.
For the how much
you.
Does that cost you?
Yeah,
right?
I don't know.
No apologies. We have a council member who loves puns, so I'm used to it all the time. we had a project, and the city's redevelopment authority has owned, 13 acres, along the waterfront. It's on the west side of Crestmore Core Business District, and it's property the city's had for, 30, 35 years, and really nothing has come of it. It's just a little outside of our main Broadway district, and, for years trying to get some type of development or project on this. And we were at a point through the city where we had a development proposal, and, this is an area, too, where, we talk about the city sometimes needs to be the leader. People like Garrett are going to invest their money into an area, they need to know that, look, the city is also vested and that they're going to have a return on that investment. And it's an area that the city cares about and is going to continue to invest in. And so we had a proposal to build Northwoods League Stadium, where we were going to, work with a team to bring in, the baseball games and also soccer and events and do some other things. And we got to, we got to the altar and, had a proposal go together. And there were some contingencies attached about private development and then, just trying to stack all these pieces together. And in essence, it just, the team at the time felt that it took too much time, and so they decided to go to the village south of us of Shwabanon and do their project there. So from a city said we took maybe a few hours to lick our wounds and then decided what we've seen here and the energy we got from working with the neighborhood and working with the local business owners down in that area saying like finally the city is doing something down here, there's some action's going to happen. We felt it was really important to come back and do something. So we worked with the community, worked with the staff, and came up with a proposal that many ways a lot of people think is even better. We're going to look at moving forward with an outdoor athletic facility. I'm going to put in some urban amenities, a beach, playground, splash pad, and also what we're calling this container park. Stuff for entrepreneurship where people can come in, start up for food, beverage, retail, and we've got approvals through council, and we'll be starting work on that very shortly.
Container parks. I've seen them before. Container parks are actual train cars, shipping containers that you can modulate and make stores or whatever out of. I think they're very cool things. Do you have a team to play in this athletic field? You've got about 10 seconds left.
Sure. We're working right now, so if there's any minor league soccer teams out there, take calls. But yeah, we'll work with the community, and if we get a team, we'll grow into it and make changes as they come.
Are you targeting a specific minor league soccer team that you've just sent a message to here?
We'll take anything out there.
We've been talking about Green Bay's booming economy with the city's development director, Kevin Vonk, who you just heard, and developer Garrett Bader. We've also been joined by Jeff Boliers, whose article in the Press Gazette, 6 months into 2018, Green Bay's business is on a tear, was the inspiration for this discussion. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Next up, we're going to be talking to Gary George, National District 4 candidate. He's running against Gwen Moore. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.